Okay, it doesn't matter. We're going to turn it off at the end point. It's what it's all about.
Right.
It's the end.
The end is what matters. So it is. We're doing the end now.
Yeah, okay. Bye.
So this is the end. Think of this as the end.
Bye.
Isn't it? I should ask you this because you're in England. Wasn't that all about Merlin? Didn't he live his life backwards? Or one of them did? One of your royals or something? Maybe it's Prince Philip or somebody.
You mean he was born with regret?
Either Merlin or the current Prince Philip is living his life backwards. Does this make any sense? Am I making that up? One of them, and he's getting younger. I guess it's not Prince Philip because he seems to be elderly.
He's pretty old. He's just retired, yeah.
He's just retired in, what, his 90s or something?
Yeah, but they're reptiles, aren't they, the royals?
And now he gets to get a little pension, right? He's earned a little pension.
No, he has to give up his pension once he retires because everything's in reverse, you see.
Oh, that is the way it works then.
Yeah.
I thought maybe they'd give him a sword that he hadn't had to sell because it's like, here's your pension is a silver sword, and they'd humiliate him into having to sell it.
All right, so that's why you're thinking of Merlin.
It is Merlin. Is it Mervin now you're saying?
Mervin.
Has history gotten it wrong because we can't read runes?
I went out last night and I took a bag with 3 courgettes and 5 cassettes.
See, we don't call them that here. We call them 8-tracks.
But I thought, that is my mind. The autocorrect in my mind went wrong. And so I meant to take cassettes, but I grabbed courgettes.
Oh, you did. And you can't shove a zucchini in those slots.
No.
Then you'll never get it out. I bet some child has done that.
Put a zucchini in?
Yeah, but because you hear kids doing that. Oh, when I was little, I put a pancake in a VCR.
Well, don't you put that in the grill of the fire?
The VHS? I'm not going to give you my precious old family videos to put down onto digital if you're going to put them in a fire.
Did you have a fake fire when you were little?
We had a real fireplace for a while.
Oh, it's such a shame. I feel sorry for you.
And then I always
feel sorry for people who have real fires.
We might have put a fake thing in it. I don't know.
Right.
I've seen the fake. How fake are you talking? The ones that just glow or when you turn a switch and the fire comes on?
You've got the fireplace, but it's been stuffed up with newspapers from 1969. And then underneath you have an electric metal one with a grill. And then it has a red light bulb that with a little airy thing that turns round that with a fiberglass rocks on the top. And then you get your toys and you stick your toys in the fire and melt them. One of those.
Oh, it will melt toys, though.
Yeah, I've still got a melted lamb.
Oh, that's not. That is like that's a cross between fake and real, isn't it?
I mean, if it'll heat something, right?
But it won't heat everything. It doesn't consume. The fire doesn't completely consume, but it will eventually destroy.
Exactly.
And
the fake rocks were great as well because you could put your toys on them.
We had that. We called it a television set. That's what we called it, though, because it wasn't enough to burn, but it was definitely melting your brain slowly.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Have you phoned me yet?
Yeah, I did. I phoned you in the beginning. Oh, do you want to start? Okay. We could formally start our conversation. I'm about to call my friend Vicky in the UK. And a lot of people think that means University of Kentucky. But it's a whole it's a whole country named after that. Did y'all get who got the name first? Y'all had it first.
Well, there's also PLU as well, which was Pacific Lutheran University.
And the stickers on vegetables.
Price lookup.
Right? Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm an expert on the us.
Yeah.
I'm not too good on the people and liking, but I'm an expert on the us.
Because you're PLU as well as Vicky, you're like me. When people look you up, they find vegetables before they find you. Like when they look me up, they find that, well, I found a loaf of bread. The other one. That's the other fella is a loaf of bread.
We used to have Hearty White here, but I don't know where he went.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't do that no more.
No, I don't know. Because it sounds, you know, I don't hate my name. but it does have a, it has some kind of connotation. It sounds, I
common?
Don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to change my name to Jack Hargreave.
There's a bread called Vogels here.
Called Vogels?
Yeah.
Like birds?
V-O-G-E-L-S, Vogels.
Birds.
You could be Hovis.
Hovis?
Yeah.
Oh, I like the name Hovis. I like that.
That comes with a tune.
I like Clovis, too. Or is that a, what do you call it? A blackbird? Not a blackbird. Crow?
I don't know.
Isn't that their genus? You know this. Aren't
what?
You, aren't you an animal fancier? No, I know you're not. But you do have vegetables, don't you? Grow your, in the UK, you're allowed to grow your own vegetables. Is this true?
Yeah. Yes.
And so that y'all have whole plots where you grow them.
Yeah, they're called allotments, but you wouldn't know about them. You call them community gardens.
We do. Is that...
Have I asked you about your show yet?
No, I don't think you have. You do that near the beginning.
All right, that's later.
We're going to do the end first. You know how they shoot movies out of order, don't they?
They do.
So we're going to do this out of order.
Okay.
Right? Because you like that sort of art that's not, I don't know, non-linear seems like a cliche now.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the kind of goes in circles but doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I like that. So we're hoping, I'm shooting for that.
Round like a circle in a spiral like a wheel within a wheel, you mean like that?
Like Michelle, is that Michelle Legrand that you're quoting?
Never ending or beginning like an ever-spinning wheel.
Right, and then he modulates the key, so that's literally what's happening. And you think, this is not going to resolve until it does the circle of fifths.
Yeah, what's it called when it keeps going up?
Tedious? I think.
No,
it's got a name though, right? In Latin.
Yeah.
Because everything was that.
Yeah, where it keeps going.
It just keeps going. Shepherd's loop?
Is it?
Is that where it feels like it keeps ascending, but it's not really going anywhere? That effect in sound recording? This is it's your profession. Don't let me tell you. I thought you knew that.
No, but that's classical.
Oh, you mean it literally goes up?
Well, it would be cumulative if it were a tail.
Mm-hmm.
But this, it just keeps going up like half a tone until it's got really, really high, but you never feel like you've got anywhere.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. Oh, I'm living that
too. I know that one.
I know that one. That's my theme. That's the, in baseball or in fighting, you have a theme that plays when you come out, you know, and come up to the plate or something. And mine would just be an ascending scale. Like that, I think. That would be the best, wouldn't it? And then people throw things. You all have sports over there, but everything is named differently. We've gone through this before because we had that Bilotti beans conversation.
We did, Bilotti.
Bilotti. And I'm saying, Bilotti. I don't know that we are allowed to have those here.
By the way, you're recording this on GarageBand, aren't you?
I am on GarageBand.
GarageBand.
It's one word, GarageBand.
Garage.
Yeah, I don't know how y'all see it. It's the pronunciation is different. It's because there is an extra U that you put in.
Say mirror.
No, I don't. Mirror.
Mirror.
Mirror. People say it in all different ways. Don't you think that?
Say horror.
Horror. I don't know. Horror. I say horror. I say it a bunch of different ways. I don't want people to accidentally think I mean a traditional Jewish dance, like horror. But sometimes I say horror, like that.
Horror.
Horror, like let's all dance the horror.
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 I overdo it because I'm conscious that I'm mispronouncing it. Like mirror.
Yeah.
I do that too.
Mirror.
Mira. I don't want people to think I mean someone named Mira. You see what I'm saying? So I say mirror. I try to overpronounce
it. I'm following you.
Yes, I hope so. I hope I'm making a little bit of sense because I think this is what we're having is a transatlantic cross-cultural discussion about art and life and everything. And I want to make sure I get it right. I want to make sure that I represent my end of the duel, not the duel, what is this? We're not shooting each other. everything is Hamilton. We're so still crazy about it over here. So excited yeah. about Hamilton, the musical. Do you all have musicals there?
You sound like a clay pigeon trying to talk to foreign people.
I know. Are you from here?
Do you love America? You cut that bit.
What do you love about it? Exactly. That's what
you've mentioned royalty, so you're doing well.
I have respect for them because I don't know why, because I feel bad for them. You know, because I read Prince and the Pauper. And
Prince and the Pauper.
Yeah, exactly. You have those over there too.
Yes, paupers, yeah.
Paupers. They're really nitrous or whatever yeah. they are. I don't know what they are. But we have those, and I know that the royal family occasionally gets exchanged with lookalikes and things. So people rotate in and out. Is this not true?
Oh, you mean like in Robert Anton Wilson novels?
Yeah, you get confused. You go, oh, that we got has a double has taken his place, and then he's gone yeah. to live with the abusive poor father.
Well, actually, no, that's Quantum Universes.
Oh, so that's happening simultaneously.
Yeah, but only with the royal family do you notice.
Oh yeah, exactly. I could see any of them being their opposites.
Yeah,
it's
we
very
all have
easy.
Doppelgangers. It's just no one right. recognizes us.
Well, I could see I've run into Harry's in bars before.
Right.
And you go, oh, this
right.
guy.
Yeah.
And but it seems all but the charitable one's okay.
You're talking about the royal family again.
I am. Well, you know, we don't have we do and we don't have one. Here.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
So we don't really have a hereditary family.
Mm-hmm.
It changes.
Well, you don't have relatives, you mean?
No, I don't have. No one can prove they're relatives here because there was a big fire in the genealogical library when we first found it, and everybody lost their records.
Was it arson?
And they took, it should have been, and they took different names. Well, a lot of people came here for banking reasons. And so they go, oh, no, I'm not that Charlie Smith. You're looking for another guy. And so people
did change their names, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. A lot of times it was unpronounceable, I guess. It was like, what kind of foreign name is that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you go, Schön vergessen. That's the punchline of a Yiddish joke. That's how you know we're recording this backwards. Because I told you the punchline. Now you want to hear it? I'll explain the joke. Now I'll just explain the joke to you. So there's.
You know, we could have done this backwards, but it would have taken some preparation.
I'm doing it backwards, and it did take preparation.
Oh, we're preparing now. Okay.
I'm preparing during the thing. Because if you do it backwards as you're going along, you just have to flip the moments and have to flip the whole big heavy thing at the end.
Yeah.
You flip as you go along.
Oh.
Isn't that the way?
Have you flipped it yet?
It's always flipping. That's what I'm saying. You're always turning back time. I always am just keep reversing it. I just keep my thumb on the watch. I don't let the hands go anywhere. Then you slow it down.
And what about if the battery runs out?
That's not how you do your show.
Yeah.
I know that's how you do yours, because we talked about time traveling to do your show. Otherwise, how would you do that in a week?
Well, yes, and also I have to be 5 hours ahead in order to broadcast it.
That's right. So you have to stay up super, like we have to stay up super late to watch Doctor Who.
Yeah, and if I'm over there, I have to come home to do it.
I know, that's terrible. They make you do that for your visa, too, come home every couple hours.
Yeah.
And you'd think, that assumes everybody has a time machine. And I don't think that's fair, because I know people don't. I know y'all have a lovely British-made one that looks all steampunk, don't you?
I didn't even know what steampunks were until earlier this year, and we went to Hull, and there was a steampunk convention, and they were everywhere. And I actually started to think that I really wasn't seeing them, and that I was actually imagining seeing all these periodical people. These periodicals were walking around.
They are.
And the same thing happened to me in Austria. I went to do a concert in Basel, And I nearly went to Basel by mistake, but that's another story. Mm-hmm. But I got the right train, and I got out onto the station at Basel or Basel, one of them, and there were just all these people in lederhosen without horns. And it was one of those moments I thought, nope, nope. And then they were having an Alphorn festival in the town, mm-hmm. and it was full of people in lederhosen yodeling. And you were hearing it off in the distance, especially when it got dark and they started drinking. And then where I played, next door to where I played, there was this art installation, and the old men vandalized it. End of story.
The old men in lederhosen.
They vandalized the art exhibition.
I could see that.
That was a respectful silence.
That makes sense. I'm picturing it. First of all, I was, and it took me a while to catch up because I was only on episode Steampunk, and I was had to make the transition.
Okay.
But boy, that's an image. You don't see a lot of lederhosen clad vandal gangs here.
Well, I also thought, God, they like traditional dress here a lot, don't they?
Yes, they do. You know, a lot here, people don't, they see we're lost touch with a lot of our traditional dress, which I think is great. That's grand. That's mm-hmm. the kind of amnesia I think you should have, right? Is to forget certain costumes of the past.
Yeah.
Like only one great-grandfather gets to make things up, and the rest of us, we have to settle for their bad design throughout history.
Yeah.
We should be constantly making costumes for our own age, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. So what would a costume for the age be now?
I don't know, but steampunk is an example of somebody who has something, but their concept of the 19th century is very romantic, and they have a certain aesthetic that they like
mm-hmm.
that's based on that. Like how run every technology through the 1890s or something.
Yeah, and it's part goth as well, isn't it?
Right, exactly. I don't know who started it.
Mm.
Is it Amber Spyglass thing? What's his name? Pullman? That has that aesthetic.
No idea.
Do you know that series, The Golden Compass? Have you ever read that?
No.
Oh, it's really good. It's his Dark Materials. You should get it. It takes you, you could read it just on the toilet. I mean, it's many, many, it's three books. So
I'd be having a bad time.
Well,
it's
a couple visits to the toilet.
Okay.
All books should be described that way. All light reading books should be described.
Yep.
How many toilet visits are we talking?
Number one or number two?
It's weeks worth of number two. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Y'all have puzzles over there, crossword puzzles or anything in the United Kingdom?
Are you really asking me that question?
I don't know what you have. I've never been there. I'm
so
just...
look, you're doing a clay pigeon thing again, you see?
No, mine's genuine. I literally don't know whether y'all... We had a crossword rage here in the 20s or 30s or something. And
is that where someone tore up a crossword?
No, they just got... You know how we get overly into something here? The fads, you know?
Yeah.
We go crazy for... something, have to have all of it,
yeah,
that day, right?
Yeah.
So one, it was crosswords one decade, and they crossword puzzles, and they caught on, and they've sort of endured. People still sort of the clamor is up. It's like tulip fever. It runs its course, but people still have it. It just doesn't cause havoc on a grand scale anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Don't y'all have stuff that you're absolutely mad for? You say mad over there.
The thing about quizzes is that I really don't like them because I don't know normal things.
You're right.
You know, like pub quizzes or Trivial Pursuit
exactly.
or general knowledge. I have no general knowledge, and I've got past the point of being embarrassed that I'm ridiculously stupid. But it's actually quite upsetting, the notion that you go out for entertainment to be publicly humiliated and lose.
You know who wouldn't know things that are going on in current events? The Highlander. See, even though he's lived for generations, he can't tell you because that's trivial to him, right? Why is he going to remember? That's like asking him what he had for breakfast or something. I don't remember, man.
Well, also the notion that that there is such a thing as general knowledge. It's like the notion that there's such a thing as news. I mean, there is news, but there's the news that everyone shares. But then what about all the other news? That's news as well, but we don't know about it. It's a bit like not knowing that the royal family are. It's about knowing that the royal family have quantum clones, but everyone else's doppelganger you don't know because you don't know them.
Right. Right. No, yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like general knowledge, it's oppressive in a way because it's like, and people feel bad for not knowing things that they think they're supposed to know, which is always, which is tragic.
That's the problem with clever people. They put us idiots to shame.
Yeah, that's all Marx Brothers movies are secretly entitled. That's the problem with clever people.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, look what they got us. Yeah, general things that people assume are the truth. Well, I mean, I don't want to say that. People are too free thinking nowadays.
That on the radio.
Well, we all live in a dream is a dangerous philosophy. When you think about it, right? You don't want.
Well, the idea that you end something and said it's all a dream.
Yeah, well, it is, you know, you can only say it if you're in it.
Yeah.
I read that it's a sort of paradox to ask, am I dreaming? As a way of knowing whether you're in a dream or not.
Well, that would be the moment of realization where you've taken control of a situation.
But I don't want if this is all a dream and you can change it as you go along or something, there's some people I don't want them to know that. You see where I'm going? Like, I want, it'd be like I want a bar, but only for my cool friends who I know would I let in. Because it's dangerous. Like, there's some wonderful people I'd love for them to shape reality. But there's some people, if I said, oh, it's really a dream, a lucid dream you can make happen whenever you want, I wouldn't want them to know that, would I?
Well, I mean, the difference between a dream and reality is a dream, you're only shaping your own reality, and whereas the reality is you're shaping everyone else's dreams.
Do you want to shape each other's dreams for a week? We could get inside. Give you your dreams for a week. Would you?
You asking me to say that again, and I'm glad you didn't.
No, I can. Well, I'll just grab it. Just duplicate it. I'll go, what's that again? And then I'll just run. I'll just copy it. They don't know I'm cutting and pasting anyway.
By the way, if you close your eyes and talk. It's very different. The things you say are very different to if you open them.
Oh, I agree with you. Oh, I absolutely agree with you.
I closed my eyes about 5 minutes ago, and now I'm actually making more sense, partly because I'm not looking at your avatar in Skype.
Oh, I know. It's influencing you. It's staring. Yeah, it's terrible eyes looking at you.
And that silly hat.
Yeah, yeah. Don't look at that. That'll get into your soul. It'll make you feel cold about the universe.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, because sometimes when you close your eyes, you know, you get the access to the movie screen of your brain.
Yeah.
You know, and that way you can have more control about there. When you start talking about your dreams making reality, you can make them happen a little bit.
Yeah.
Right, that's awesome and awful.
And you can also check in that it's all okay by flapping your arms.
We've had that discussion before, whether that is a good dream check, whether you can fly.
Yeah, flap your arms.
But I fly, well, what if there's a delayed, here's the thing. I know I'm going to be on an airplane in a couple of weeks, right? So I flap
my arms. Where are you going?
I flap my arms. I'm going to San Francisco.
Oh, so am I. Okay.
Oh, no, that's crazy. That's crazy. It's a friend of mine has a thing out there, and I'm going to go look at it.
Oh, that's great.
I know.
I hope it's really good.
It better be good. As I mentioned.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm flying to San Francisco, and that makes my arms are going to be so tired.
Yeah. Okay, so flapping your arms.
So I flap my
arms. You definitely do take off if
I'm going to take off in a few. There's a time lapse.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like in your dreams, you're flying, right? You say, "Oh, I can fly." Therefore, I know it's a dream.
Yeah.
Right. But here, I could flap my arms. A couple of weeks go by. I'm all of a sudden I'm over Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Now, yeah.
Explain that.
I
mean, it has a, there's a bit of a, you have to allow a certain time, but you do for anything. It's just scale. You know, things, one thing causes another, but sometimes it's a little delayed reaction.
Yeah, well, we are actually flying at a great speed all the time.
Oh, there's that also. Right.
Mm. On a very, very thin layer below, above a great deal of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Around nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's only scary if you think you're not going to die. But I know it's people, you know, that other things get you before the fire and the spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some reassuring. Oh, wow. At least I get to sleep the eternal sleep before I, you know, the sun blows up or something. Is that not comforting? Oh, I guess that's some people that bothers. Oh, I know. It depends. It's all relative. Some days, and it's like that feeling. People have that in their lifetime, don't they? The feeling, oh, I want to die and all this, and oh, my God, don't let me die. I mean, the same people have prayed both prayers loudly and from the heart, haven't they?
They have.
And you can, during your lifetime, get, you know, you cling to it and you run from it. It's a fun thing. Right now I'm having fun because I'm talking into a stick with my friend who lives, how many miles, do we even know how many miles it is from the United States to England?
It's 145.
It's at least.
At least.
I think it's at least that.
Yeah.
Because I know that the when the queen, which one of y'all queens used to make runs between the continents? One of y'all, Mary or Elizabeth or one of them, used to go.
Well, they were incontinent.
No, they were disguised as a ship.
What, the queen disguised herself as a ship?
Yes, well, you didn't know this. Queen Mary was also a ship. Yeah, she thought nobody was going to recognize her. She goes,
oh, right, the Queen Elizabeth II ship is on the Thames.
You never see them together.
That's true.
Right? Because she changes into it. We have, where do you think all the Transformers and stuff comes from? Those are all what royalty can do. Did you know this? During World War I, a lot of the royalty changed themselves into those horrible tanks and everything.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. Our textbooks have gotten so bad here, we apologize. We don't know. I don't know. I'm making it up. I might be making up history. I can't really prove any of it happened. I know everybody.
Have I asked you about your show yet? Because you said that I must mention your show from last week.
No, not last week. The one you were on. You don't even remember the one you were on. That's what concerns me. That's why we've all gotten together and we're asking you what you remember and what you don't.
Oh, is this a test about whether you're going to put me in a home?
I don't know whether the time difference 6 hours or years.
Because if it's
years, oh, it's 5 years.
Yeah.
That's why you don't know yet. You haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Well, you do a bit for my show, and you pretend to be like a hotel clerk.
Oh, that.
That one.
That wasn't last week.
Has that happened yet? That happened a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a few weeks ago.
Well, that's the show I met.
My sarcastic character.
Exactly.
It's the only one I can do.
I know. Well, what does that tell you? How does that make you feel?
Pretty bad.
Could tell you something, but you could have the chance to grow. You go, why does my sarcastic voice seem to be my most authentic voice?
Because I haven't thought of what else to copy yet.
Oh, because that's what you're copying, sarcastic people.
Yeah.
Oh, because you're not, because you are one.
Not really. I was being my hidden sarcastic.
Oh, that's because you, who you are deep down, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, we all have a secret self.
People are sarcastic when they're tired, don't they? So it was my tired self I was tapping into.
Oh, are they mean? You're saying people are mean when they're tired.
I just think when I'm stressed out, it's probably sarcasm would come out because I wouldn't have the imagination to be mean in better ways.
When people I know are grumpy and I ask them, "Is everything all right?" and they go, "I'm just tired," I can't stop asking. I just, you know, I don't know whether it's devilishness or something. I just, the next thing is going, "You sure you okay? I'm just tired."
Yeah, and then eventually you wind them up and you go, "See, I told you."
I knew it was about me. I knew it was me you were mad at.
You think I'm annoying, don't you? Go on.
I always do that. I give somebody a reason to feel. I don't want them their feelings to be detached from reality.
No.
So if somebody has some kind of false feeling about me, I try to do what I can to make it true.
Uh-huh.
You know, but sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
Because somebody be determined to like you or something. It's hard to alienate them. If
so how
are
we doing?
Do.
How are we doing on this show? Are we talking about anything you want to talk about yet?
I think it all. I was going with intuition. Like I was going to ask you just whatever. I guess I've talked to you too much is the problem because I'm on interview. Vicky, I'm on to just ask her whatever comes to my mind. But apparently, I'm not curious about anything. But I know
you
what
aren't.
You're doing. I just talked to you. I guess I should act like I haven't just talked to you.
You haven't said. That's funny, isn't it?
That is funny, isn't it? There's questions I have about the United Kingdom. And you say kingdom, but it's a queendom right now.
Yeah.
And what you all do, I mean, I like that we have different words for things.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But it makes communication almost impossible.
Well, I think sometimes the reason I find it easier to get on with foreign people is one, I don't see them very often.
Right.
And two, we never witness much of the same together to realize we have nothing in common.
Right. Right. Well.
Is that cynical?
No, it's great. I liked when I lived in, when I lived in France, I liked people I met a lot because I didn't know anything about them.
Yeah.
And that was great. And I couldn't take care of that. I couldn't solve that because I couldn't my communication skills were so feeble that I never was able to find out a lot about them. And that was wonderful. I liked them a lot. I have that relationship with animals.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know animal opinions and I might like some animals that are just absolutely stinky. Like if other animals knew, they'd go, "You like that guy? Really?" Right? You know he's like the dog version of a Nazi or something. I go, "No,
yeah.
No way." But so I don't really know people enough to not like them. But when you know somebody well, it's just like if you're from the same culture and you maybe came up the same way, they could say, if they say the name of the wrong cartoon or something, you can say, "I have hate for that person."
Yeah.
And now it's narcissism of small differences or something.
Well, it is funny, actually. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, as you would say?
It is. I might be being sarcastic when I say that. It's a acknowledgement. It's a self, what do you call it? Self-deprecating. I almost said defecating.
Yeah, self-deprecating.
Self-deprecating acknowledgement. That you said something stupid. Like, I know I just said something dumb.
Yeah.
Hear me out anyway. I do that all the time. Bear with me. I know I'm not being interesting right now, but I want you to hang on for a second because I'm going to think of something interesting.
Well, that's why we edit things.
I don't, though. See, I don't. I like to put it all and go, "Man, I'm just going to go ahead." And I'm those kind of... You know those annoying painters that insist on doing nude self-portraits and they're not of their...
With their clothes on.
With their wonderfully human body. And you go, that. You go, it's wonderful, you know, but some of it is just for information purposes, I think, because it might not be aesthetically pleasing. But
well, they're interested in form.
Yeah. Or just, you know, or in truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say something profound then.
There's a beauty in truth that is not in all, you know. That's a different kind of beauty. You have to adjust your beauty glasses.
Well, I think art that touches on reality, most people find boring.
Yeah.
Because the pace of it is not good for people's attention spans, because they have to wait too long or look too deep.
But they like serial dramas, which is hilarious, because you know, they don't really ever resolve. Like if you look at a long-running soap opera or something, mm-hmm. right? Say, well, I want something episodic. Well, life is episodic. I want it to like wrap up a little bit neatly every now and again, but then again, open more loose ends.
Yeah.
So if you watch a soap opera that never ends, you know,
for 25 years, but then the same people would say they couldn't stand a series with, say, 19 episodes,
right.
because, you know, it's too long-winded and padded.
Right, right. But
it's like, how is your day today at work? Padded.
Padded. They all are padded. And some of them have things happen in some of them, but not a lot.
Did you have a nice sleep? Bit long-winded.
Yeah, I think we have kind of spoiled for that gratification. When you do slow down, though, I notice that I've noticed some beautiful things when I'm traumatized and I'm looking for time to compartmentalize. You know, when you're, let's say you're grieving and you have to mm-hmm. sit in a little garden or something, you know? A lot of those mm. hospice places, you're with somebody who's dying, they got a little, like, bereavement garden.
Mm.
And, you know, when you're in those places, you sort of don't want to think of the future or the past or anything. You're looking for something in the moment to be with, right? And you might just notice the way, like, a brick and a flower are juxtaposed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Am I being crazy? But, you know, your mind is kind of narrows to the immediate. And
well, that is the natural state that we are forever running away from.
Right. And it's nice to have it. You know, why wouldn't you? I know how comforting it is to have it, the moment extended as infinitely as possible. You know, mm-hmm. to be sort of lost in a moment, not to be ahead of yourself or dragging behind yourself time-wise. And I guess that's hard in art.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is the moment is forever dragging on forever.
It is. We went through this in our analogy of the Zeno reference in the hotel
paradox.
Thing that
yes.
you were in.
Yes.
And the rooms, whether they were joined or not joined.
Yeah.
Being moments, whether moments are continuous or cut up. Yep. We did talk about that. How about that? I had a lot of people saying, oh, that show sounds interesting. I should listen to that. It's already mm-hmm. changed. That's the thing. Moved on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, is that wrong? Should you always go back and do sequels? No?
Say that again. You turned into a Dalek.
Because I'm not saying anything. I didn't think you'd notice. If I wasn't using words, is it wrong to go back and revisit things and duplicate your past work, or should you always be forging ahead, careening into the future?
But you need material headlong. To do that. So, in order to shape the present mm-hmm. into the future, you're using the present, which becomes the past just then.
So you should recycle the past. You cut up. You have an old painting that's not working anymore. Just cut it up and use it for a quilt or something.
It's not the past. You can't do anything with the past because it's gone.
It's gone already. I know I lost it.
You're working with the present.
I am. Now that's gone. See, this is the whole...
Now
we're back
now
to
that's
Zeno.
The past.
I know.
So the whole idea, the whole notion that you're ever doing anything with the past, that is impossible. It's impossible to say, oh, well, I only work with the future.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're so nostalgic about the future. You should let go of the future. It's ridiculous because you were never holding on to it anyway. It's pure illusion.
Yes, it is. Oh, now, are we sure any of this is happening? Is this a dream? Dream, dream, dream. Now I'm going to put our voices fade away. I'm going to make some kind of static sound. And then I'm going to clip the, I'm going to paste the show together in a different order, like that.
I just thought of that scene from Carrie where they're holding her down and she goes, this isn't a dream, it's really happening.
Oh, my word. And it wasn't.
Not Carrie.
Okay. I'll cut it out. Go ahead, try it again.
I can't do it this time.
What movie?
Cut.
Which one are they saying?
Rosemary's
really
Baby.
Happening?
Rosemary's Baby, right. Cut. Okay.
I put it in there, so we're good.
So it's ruined now.
Rosemary's Baby, holding her, says, this isn't a dream, this is really happening. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I get them confused a little bit sometimes, briefly just in the morning, you know.
What, Carrie and Rosemary's Baby?
No, dream and reality, or dream, and dream and vivid or dream.
Whenever I'm chopping carrots, I think of Carrie.
Oh, because of the carrot chopping scene. That stays with people.
Yeah, I love the edit on that because there's a wide edit and then they cut a chop, 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 and then they go in a little bit and then a bit more. And it's a bit like that bit with the
Is there
know,
really
the
a carrot chopping scene? Because I've not seen it. I made that up. But you said there is.
I played it on my radio show on Monday.
Oh, man, I didn't know. I missed it because I've never seen the whole. I've seen clips from the movie.
I have chopped it with the sound of you chopping in your shed.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you need to know that?
Did I know? No, I knew that. I heard it. I didn't know that's what I was hearing.
But no, did you need to know?
Did I
know?
Did I need to know that?
That the chopping was that. You didn't know.
No, I didn't need to know. I don't think I needed to know it. But now I don't know. I can't go back and know whether I needed to know it or not.
And the moral of this story is it doesn't matter whether you're working with the past or not, because it's all just being done in a different way anyway.
But the past is being done in a different way.
Yeah, we're all doing the past in a different way.
Well, but they rinse it out and sterilize it and everything first. I mean, you're not going to catch anything from reusing the past.
As long as you change the filters every 6 weeks.
Right, and get rid of anything that might have bugs on it.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
And if it's slightly green, don't just put it aside.
What about using other people's past? Now,
brown's okay, though.
Can you use other people's past? Is it their past? Whose past is
whose?
Well,
their past is their past. Mm-hmm. And if you use their past, it's
just
your
perspective. Your
past.
You're right. That's right. Oh my gosh. So I'm using. So I should be able to use. This is what I think. How I would translate that legally. A familiar song, pop song,
legally
of my youth. a familiar song of my youth. I should be able to use in my little slideshow that I'm posting online. Because it's like, well, that was in my memory. I mean, that was an important song or anything. I don't care who owns it. I think that needs to go under the slides of Douglas, you know, walking around on his first car and everything.
As opposed to Doug, who isn't Douglas.
Doug is not Douglas.
He used to be Douglas. Before he was born, he was called Douglas. And when he was born, he became Doug.
Because they lose some of them. The last after birth.
Yeah.
The last falls off. And then some cultures, they would eat that.
When he's born?
The name placenta, it's called. So they eat
fine.
The last.
You don't put anything on because you eat less.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that how you pronounce it over there? Do y'all have grocery stores or how's that work? Or do y'all have to grow everything in the allotment?
No, we get it delivered.
Everything is delivered. I thought that because y'all have like Muffin Man and all that stuff like that as professions that we don't really have anymore or maybe we never did. Do you have beetles at the churches that smoke those long church warden pipes?
No, died.
The beetles are all gone.
Two of them died.
Two of the beetles died. I think you know I'm saying it differently. I know it's not, I don't want to correct you because you're there.
Well, I wouldn't know because I can't see.
Oh, you can't see or not. Well, I guess one of the Beatles did smoke a long church warden pipe. John, I think it was John. I went through that
church
phase.
Warden pipe.
Yeah, like the Beatles. I'm saying B-E-E-D-L-E. Those long clay pipes that you see like St. Nicholas smoking or something. Like a 19th century thing, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They have the, in Dickens, it had the beadle, the B-E-E-D-L-E. They're like they some church, lower church official that sits around and is corpulent and smokes a big pipe and is officious.
Like Jack Hargreaves.
Yes, if he was stouter and his pipe was longer, it'd be Jack Hargreaves. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But kind of pompous, lower church official.
Uh-huh.
A beetle. That's where the Beatles get their name, because they're like, oh, we're like pompous 19th century lower church officials. And they went, yeah. And then they changed their name to the Beatles. From what were they before that? The something something?
Y'all, Wings.
They were the Wings. That's exactly right. I remember that. If you're going backwards, that's fine too. You have different celebrities over there than we have here as well. Like people go, Jack Hargreaves, who is that? You know, he wasn't exactly on the TV of my youth.
No, that's true.
So, you know.
We had the same fears, though, when we grew up.
Oh, those are universal. Also from shared, I was read British nursery rhymes when I was a child. So I think
it's because they're not British, are they? They go back further.
Right, they go back. But just general scare your children European variety. Like, why are the children being hurt? Oh, it's just because these are old, you know, but those are a little traumatizing. Sometimes they have surreal imagery.
Uh-huh.
And I think maybe we're hurt by the same fairy tales, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a very particular kind of fear that you have per decade as well. I mean, I was reminded of one the other day, fear of quicksand.
That's a fear?
Yeah. Weren't you scared of quicksand when you grew up?
Is that...
Any moment you were going to be swallowed into the ground.
See, now, there was this toy when I was growing up called Silly Sand. And it was something like had a sand consistency and you'd make things with it. And in my imagination, it supplanted quicksand. All right, as a visual image. So every time you say quicksand, instead of seeing a scary scene from a Tarzan movie, I see Silly Sand, and so I'm not as scared of it. I don't. Maybe it's a sort of immunity.
Well, that's how you get rid of your fears. You replace what you're scared of with something benevolent.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Apparently.
That's what I was. So when I was, back to my show. When I was doing, I was thinking, what voices could I put as voices of my unconscious that would not scare me? And so one of them was you, and the others were all of your friends.
Really?
Yeah, so I thought that's why that show is. Me and everybody that you know, practically, who's in my that hotel show.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, don't you think? Because you're not, I mean, I'm not scared of your voice.
Good.
You seem like you just have information for me. Like I called up the company that makes this wonderful thing that normally is fine.
What, you mean Vicky?
No, that's not the you're the company.
Oh, okay.
And I'm calling it up about this device that I'm not sure what it does, but I'm calling up the company that makes it because usually it's working fine.
But I'm sure I can help you with that.
But I don't know what it is, and I don't know why it's not working, and I don't know what it does when it is working. But
that's okay. We don't need to not generalize.
Well, that's fantastic.
Especially when we're being really specific.
Because you
sound, do not need that.
You sound like you know. That's what's important.
Do I?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, am I wrong to believe that? Are you going to sell me something now?
No.
I hope not. Because legally you can't from one country to the other, I think, sell somebody things. Can you?
You said you keep talking about the law.
Well, I'm worried about it. I don't know what your prisons are like. But here, they're either not maintained or there's something going on with them. I've seen some reality shows. And things just don't look clean to me. And morale... I don't know whether that's an important thing. I don't even think they encourage morale in prison. I think they don't care how you feel.
This is what I think about prison, right? You know the big pile of books that you've got that you haven't read?
Yes.
You can read them, can't you?
Oh, that's, well, there's that.
Mm.
Yeah,
only the first 20 pages, though.
Everybody wants prison to be harsh and cruel unless they have to go to it. Then they're like, man, no, it should be like a hotel. It's funny. And you never know. See, I don't know whether everybody is there justly or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always afraid, well, gosh, for the person who doesn't, you know, belong there, or does anybody belong there?
Mm. Mm.
They should ask people before they go in, do you believe in free will? And if they say, yes, I believe in free will, then they should definitely go to prison.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. But if they don't, I think that's not fair.
Yeah. Do you believe in free will?
Do I personally?
Mm.
Well, I think that's one of those questions that that I would have to answer. I don't really, but I could be talked into it, to thinking that I do. No, it's one of those. I think it's unanswerable. I think it's absolutely unanswerable, because let's say there's no free will. Let's just talk biologically. If I'm making all these decisions through my unconscious that my conscious mind can't make them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, then the question could be pre-answered, and whatever I say might have nothing to do with reason. It might be just something I insist on saying. So if there is no free will, then whatever I say can't be trusted anyway on the subject.
I think that there is absolutely no free will, but because of that, there's completely free will, because at any possible moment, what you are is what you'll become,
mm-hmm.
which is infinite possibilities, but you just don't know which one it is, and that's where you've got no free will.
All I have to do is prevent you from seeing the future, and I've given you a sort of life,
mm-hmm.
because if you can see the future, then you're conscious of the fact that the future's seeable, that you don't have any free will, you're not making any choices, that the thing is laid out before you, but if you're constantly blind to what's about to happen, you'll never know. And it'll always feel like it's being invented as you go. It'll always seem fresh.
Which is how we were, most of us, put together. But the problem with that, right, the fatal flaw in that coming about is we then look to the past thinking that what's already happened is what will happen in the same pattern of events that it did, and then we'll build up these constructs that makes those things happen again.
Yes.
I've still got my eyes closed. If I open them, it's
no, don't open them. I can't go. I'm going to listen to that a bunch of times. But
everybody, close your eyes.
Oh no, because some people are driving their cars. I've done that before, and I know now legally not to do it. There's legally
now.
But
we're going to meditate.
I think there's, when I say legally, sometimes I mean moral law.
Yeah.
You know, that's the legal that I care about. Is, mm-hmm. Do I need to, do certain actions have consequences that I might not be able to foresee because I can't see the future, but I can sort of foresee them because I can predict using my reasoning. And should for things that could be harmful. For instance, the Bible the Bible teaches us if you make a house with a flat roof, all right, just imagine having a party up there, and you go, well, maybe somebody might fall off. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So put a railing around it, fool. Otherwise, you're responsible for it. So that's and they say if you do that, if you don't do that, somebody falls. The blood guilt is on you.
Well, that's like you were saying about the three little pigs a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't their fault that they kept building the things out of the wrong material, because really, who would have thought that it would get blown down?
Right, right, right. But because it seems that the story implies that only the weird wolf can blow it down. I mean that.
Yeah.
And otherwise, if it's just if you're a pig and it's just the wind, you build another one the next day. What do you have to
do? Yeah, you're not going to make one out of bricks.
Bricks seems like a waste of time.
Yeah.
Right? It seems like overkill for something that's unlikely.
Yeah.
Which is a wolf that can somehow conjure a hurricane pulmonarily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how that's possible. But so we absolve them of their guilt. Yes, because if you don't have free will, you know. But I would still have houses for difficult people that they would trick them into going there and keeping them there. Because bless people's hearts, even if there isn't free will, certain folks, if they are acting a certain way, like murderous or something, sometimes you need to set them aside or trick them into going into some...
What was that movie where it was one of those kind of dystopian movies where there was a prison and it was on Manhattan Island and the whole of Manhattan Island was a prison. And so instead of going into a prison where you're just locked in a cell, you're just lumped in with everyone else.
Is it Escape from New York?
Oh, yeah, it might be.
I don't know. That might be it. I think it's... Some of that is what you're saying is real.
Well, yeah, except it's the rent's cheaper.
Yeah, and isn't that also My Dinner with Andre?
I love My Dinner with Andre.
I think you just quoted it though.
All right, so you're just trapped in a very very long dinner forever.
Yeah, or no, you're in a prison. Well, this is like My Dinner with
Vicky.
I don't even think we ordered yet. Have we even ordered yet? I know we've sent the coffee back a bunch.
I've had a ginger beer.
You don't have coffee. What we call coffee, you call tea.
So you're doing it again.
Is that right? That's right. Am I doing? Is that Clay? Was that what Clay would say?
Doing Clay Pigeon again.
So you have a different name for drinks and things. Or you just don't.
You'd be fun in a WFMU marathon, wouldn't you, talking to me? You'd just be asking me about tea and coffee.
I'm just ask you what I think people are interested in. That's all. You try to get in the listener's head and say, what would they, if they had a person on the phone from England, what would they be asking? And I would think, well, you know, practical things like exchange rates and where would you stay if I was coming to London to see a show or something. Right.
Yeah, and I'd say to you, say horror.
Exactly, and you all over say there
mirror.
Are interested in our celebrity magazines and things like that. So you'd be asking.
Yeah, It's all I do.
So we're getting to the beginning of the show, so to speak.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think we're getting somewhere now.
So I'd like to ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
But I've already asked them. So this is the part where I ask your permission.
Have I got to guess what they are?
So I'm here today with my friend, Vicky. People like us.
And hi.
And her show she just did a summer show that was incredibly labor intensive and beautiful. Right?
Thank you.
Oh, it was wonderful. And but no human being can do that constantly. So she must take breaks to have... I have a life, and that's understandable, I guess. Although I feel like artists are here for us, a sort of servant.
I'm ever so sorry about that. I'm very sorry about that.
I feel like you're, you know...
Letting you down, I am. Mm. I'm so sorry.
I will. If you stay, we will grant you your freedom later. Oh, now I got to get... You are listening to... what we call a miracle like us or something? people like nutrition.
People like nutrition.
This is People Like Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in mysterious Rockland County, or online at WFMU.org. Vicky, thank you for calling me on the phone. I called you.
Have we just started?
We're just now starting. Oh.
Okay.
So I wonder, do you know the I was standing. That's right. And that's about where we are. All right, join me again next week.